We're imperiled by Stalin, yes. There's no question but what Stalin is an enemy of ours. But we're just beginning to wake up to the fact that there's an enemy within our borders that's been working to the destruction of this country since the time the pilgrims landed.
You are listening to a man alerting his neighbors in Jerome County, Idaho, where the people act. The People Act. These are true stories, tape recorded in communities across the nation where people are working together to build a better future. The People Act is presented by the TV Radio Workshop established by the Ford Foundation and produced by the CBS Radio Network. Every voice and sound is real. No actors are used. Now, here again is your narrator, the noted reporter, Robert Trout. Jerome, Idaho, April 17th, 1952. Northside Inn. We roll over in bed and look at the clock. It's 4:30 a.m., but most of Jerome's 3,573 citizens are already awake. This is their big day. It's 5:10 when we get downstairs, out on Main Street. There's a crowd on the sidewalk, cars and trucks double parked in the street. Everyone's excited. Bob Wegeland hustles us over to his car along with reporter Dave Moore.
Get in, Bob. Come on, Dave. We've got about 25 miles of back roads here to get over. Let's go.
You think we'll get out there before 6?
I think we will.
Good. Say, it looks like we're going to have a mighty good day for this.
It sure does, Dave. It's sure nice and clear.
It's still dark when we head out of town. The two-lane blacktop road is jammed. Cars and trucks are bumper to bumper. Other days, you wouldn't pass a car for miles on this road. This morning, they string out as far as you can see. At a crossroads, we stop, talk to a sweating cop.
I'm Officer Brightman, Jerome Police. I've been stacked up here in the road now for quite a spell, about a mile or so down the road. They're coming in slowly but surely, one right after the other, keeping in close formation. As of about 40 minutes ago, we had an official check that said there was a little better than 2,200 people.
It's 6 a.m. In the first light of dawn, the swarm of cars begins to converge on a flat, sandy stretch of land, empty, a desert. We get out of the car, follow the crowd down across a rutted path. A man stands a little distance away, setting up an aerial bomb. He lights the fuse.
Welcome to the Farm in a Day Project. That aerial bomb you just heard officially opens the activities of the Farm in a Day Project here on the John Herman Farm, several miles east of Jerome. Now I'd like to introduce to you a man who has had much to do with this Farm in a Day Project, Mr. Paul Sheffer, conservation specialist from Portland, Oregon. What a beautiful day for Farm in a Day. You're about to witness the biggest demonstration of improving land for a more productive and a more permanent use than has ever been attempted in the West. We're going to start from scratch on 103 acres of raw land and take you all the way through the operations of preparing the land for productive and safe use. They're going to put up a two-bedroom house for Mr. and Mrs. Herman and fix up the outbuildings and put in the roads and other outbuildings. All of this is going to be done between now and 6 o'clock tonight.
We move down closer to the sound truck. There are about 3,000 people crowded around. Tractors, graders, and bulldozers warming up. The high school band. J.H. Crist, the regional director of the United States Soil Conservation Service, is speaking.
Surrounded as we are here in this great huge bowl of the Snake River, the Goose Creek Mountains there on our south, Mount Independence, Harrison, Cache over there in the distance, up in the far corner over there, the Lost River Mountains, and the Sawtooth, and the Smokies, and the Soldiers. What could be a more spectacular setting than this that you have here today?
It's a bright, sunny day here at the Herman Farm. The crowd is still pouring in, and we're just about ready to get underway. Farm in a Day Program Director Emery Schellenberger is standing up on the sound truck.
I just want to caution you about one thing. Please stand clear of all the equipment that is in motion. The fireman today is ready to start. Let's go.
now 6:20 a.m. We're on a small hill now, and from here we can see the whole of John Herman's farm, or rather the 123 acres of desert that these Jerome County people are going to try to make into a farm. From here we can see the volunteer workers fanning out north, east, and west to get to their assigned jobs. Right below us, about 50 yards to the south, some men are gathering around a concrete foundation that was put down a few days ago. There are going to be close to 100 projects underway on these 123 acres of desert today, but most attention will be focused on what they're going to try to do down there, to build a complete house in one day. And now I've been signaled by Dave Moore, who's down there with his walkie-talkie. He has someone with him, so we'll switch down to the house site now.
The volunteer carpenters are ready to start work on the house. Go over here, this fellow looks like a superintendent of some sort. What's your name?
My name is Bill Weigel. At the present time, we have the subfloor down on the house. We're framing up the rafters, putting the sheeting on the partitions and the outside walls. We have about 45 to 50 men working here at the present time.
What time do you expect to get this house finished?
We hope to be done at 6 o'clock this evening. We hope to have the cupboards in, the floors down, and all the inside material on the walls.
Will you tell me something about the size of the house?
The house is 26 by 38. It has a kitchen, bathroom, two bedrooms, living room, and utility room.
Back up here on the hill, people don't seem to have much confidence that the house can be finished on time. In fact, we understand that John Herman has made a little bet. If the plumbing is in by 6 o'clock, he's promised to hold up the final ceremonies while he takes a bath. You can probably hear the bulldozers just below us. With me here now is Tom Prescott from the Jerome Junior Chamber of Commerce. And, Mr. Prescott, I'd like to ask you, what's the purpose of this Farm in a Day project? Why are you people here in Jerome County doing this?
This project here on the Herman Farm isn't a philanthropy. It's a show window, a demonstration of how this raw sagebrush land can be worked over and made into some of the most productive land in the entire world. And something else that we're hoping to put across here today is that the soil conservation isn't just a problem of the farmer, but a problem of the whole community.
Thank you, Mr. Prescott. Now, Dave Moore has moved over into a field west of the house with his walkie-talkie, and there seems to be a lot of activity over there. Dave, can you tell us what's happening?
Bob, I'm standing right in the middle of a field on the middle western side of the farm. I don't know if you can hear me. There are about 8 tractors going around me right now. And I have Mr. Meter Wilkins here.
We're running a lot of heavy equipment over this field to establish a rough grade first. It'll be put into pasture so we can stand a little steeper grade with good sod on it. After this heavy equipment goes over it, we'll disc it, harrow it, run the land planes over it, and that'll give us a pretty fair grade. By establishing good grades, we get better control on the water. It takes less water for irrigation. That means we can irrigate more acres. We can get more farm production.
It's now 10 a.m., and people are still pouring in. There must be 8,000 people on the grounds now. The parking lots are full, and now the cars are being parked up along the highway. Some people I've talked to estimate we're going to have a crowd of 15,000 here before the day is over. Mr. Harold Harris, the District Soil Conservation Representative, is here with me now. And Mr. Harris, what I'd like to ask you is, how did this Farm in a Day project get started?
Well, the reason for the Farm in a Day show started about 3 years ago. As you know, the supervisors of the Northside Soil Conservation District worked free of charge. And after 2 years' time, they had received no public commendation for their services. Equipment dealers and civic clubs in town were quite interested and giving them a public pat on the back for what they had done. Then that fall, that was last fall, the whole bunch got enthused about a Farm in a Day program, and several meetings were held with the district supervisors and the equipment dealers, and through these meetings, it was decided to start the project for this year. That was in September of 1951.
Well, Mr. Harris, how did you happen to choose this particular farm, John Herman's farm?
They selected John Herman's farm primarily for the farm itself and not because of the... They didn't select the man, in other words. They selected the farm. They wanted a farm where they could start from raw land and develop it into a conservation program. John's farm fit this condition 100%. There had never been a plow used on his land prior to the Farm of the Day project.
Thank you, Mr. Harold Harris. Now, Dave Moore has moved out of sight, but he's called to us on his walkie-talkie from somewhere in the east field. Dave, what do you have down there?
Bob, I'm standing down below the house, down a hill from the house, where numerous people are putting up a large corral and a barn. Now, here's Vernon Ravenscroft, who's in charge of this part of the project.
Hello. What do you want to take on first here?
Well, what's this business they're doing here with this tractor and this drill?
Right now, we're in some rather stiff rock, and it's kind of hard to get these post holes down exactly where we want them for this loading chute. But that is a post hole auger, and they're digging the holes, and then we're placing these large treated timbers in here for the on which the poles will be placed to make this corral.
And how many people do you have working on this project?
Well, it's varied from time to time, but we have about 18 or 20 on it now.
And you say you've hit some hard rock here. Seem to be having some trouble. What time did you plan on getting finished?
Well, we'd hope to make it before 4:00. We'll probably settle for 6:00.
Back here on the hill, you can hear the sound truck blaring in the background, and we've put together some figures on this operation. There are 1,500 workers out here today with 116 pieces of machinery, representatives of every organization in town, from Boy Scouts to Kiwanis. The list is too long to read. They're going to put in about 12,000 man-hours of work before 6:00 tonight and increase the value of this farm from almost nothing to about $50,000. It's almost noon here, a blazing hot day. The work seems to be going smoothly, but there have been a few minor casualties. The first aid station reports so far one smashed finger, one bruised knee, one sprained wrist, and 2 cases of sunburn. I think now we'll move down here a few yards to the refreshment stands, rows of wooden tables the women have set up to serve food and soft drinks. I beg your pardon. Would you let me get through, please? I'd like to talk to some of these ladies here. May I ask you, how much food do you have here today, miss?
We'll have $14,000, 1 ton of cheese, 2,000 loaves of bread, 290 pounds of ham, 300 pounds of coffee.
We have 6 or 7 booths here, and each booth handles their own coffee and sandwiches and drinks. And
all the Granges together expecting to feed about 15 or 16,000. We think it's over our heads, but then I think we'll get the job done.
Thank you, ladies. It's a big job, but I'm sure you'll get it done. Now, it looks as if we're about to have some entertainment at this point. The ladies have just presented me with a hot dog and a bottle of pop, and the Jerome Quartet is getting ready to sing, so let's listen. We're moving back now to our post up on the hill, pushing through the crowd here. So we'll switch now to Dave Moore, who's gone back to the house to check on the progress. Are you there, Dave?
Yes, Bob, I'm back at the house now, and I'm trying to find Cliff Evans of the Jerome Lumber Company. Cliff Evans is over here just a short distance, if I can get to him. He's talking to some other fellows over there. They all look kind of worried. Just a minute, see if I can get to him. Cliff, just a minute. Seems to be the trouble? You look a little worried.
Not to be here, please.
We're having a little difficulty with the rafters and ceiling joists right now. They're in there putting on the sheetrock. It's not going on as fast as it should go on. I would say right now we're probably an hour and a half behind schedule at the present time.
We'll get back to you, Dave. From up here, we can see the house, but there's too big a crowd there for us to tell how the work is going. But we are getting reports that things are moving along smoothly in the fields. Trees are being planted, irrigation ditches dug, fields graded and plowed, a corral built. And directly below us, a crew is working on a farm pond. And with me right now is a gentleman who can tell us a little more about this last project. Won't you give us your name, sir?
I'm Bob Casebeer of the Idaho State Fish and Game Department, in charge of habitat improvement for the state. As a part of our program of habitat improvement, we have come here on the John Herman farm today and put out shrubs and trees for wildlife cover and for food. We are extremely interested in the recreational value afforded by such plantings and the localities involved. They will be using this area. There no doubt will be ducks in the area. We have seen muskrats in the farm pond. When the farm pond is finished, there will be fish in there, which will furnish a great deal of good sport for the kids, as well as a good fishing or swimming hole for the kids.
Thank you, Mr. Casebeer. The word we have up here is that the house is still about an hour behind schedule, and the chances of finishing by 6 o'clock don't look good. You can probably hear that sound truck now. It's moved to a point just below us.
We have your two children here at the sound truck. Mrs. Elva White, will you please call for them? Also, we have a young boy here by the name of Calvin Neal. Calvin Neal, will you please come and pick up Calvin Neal? The White children have been claimed.
I trust you could hear that, the 14th lost child today. Well, it's almost 5 o'clock now, and there's a lot of work still going on. They're rushing to beat that 6 p.m. deadline. And with me up here is Mr. Paul Scheffler, a conservation specialist. Mr. Scheffler, tell us, how are we doing as far as the work in the fields goes?
We've got about an hour to go here yet before the job is complete. To the south, there's four large fields in there that the heavy equipment has been working in all day on land leveling operations. There's a considerable amount of work, dirt that had to be moved in those four fields. Those fields are done now as far as the heavy equipment is concerned, and those machines moved out, and plows have been working in there right on schedule, and the plowing of the one field that's to be seeded today has been done, and the I can see over there now the fertilizer spreader is working, and following right behind that is the seeding drill. I think that about covers the description of the farm as it looks right now here with about another hour or so to go.
Thank you, Mr. Scheffler. Now, also here with us is Mr. Waters Davis, who's president of the National Association of Soil Conservation Districts. Mr. Davis, you've come all the way from Texas for this occasion, so would you tell us what there is about this event that would make such a long trip worthwhile?
This affair out here at Jerome is the first time that I know of in history that they've ever taken just a piece of bald desert and turned it into a productive farm of maximum efficiency in 24 hours. It's a history-making deal. It's a very dramatic example of what should be done to the land of America. We're still losing a 500,000 acres a year through wind and water erosion. In 1980, there are going to be 214 million people in this country. And all during this time, we keep on losing land, more people. Unless we change and change quickly, we can have a famine. America's the only nation in the world that has never seen a famine, but it can happen here. Unless we get this soil conservation program into high gear.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. That certainly is something to think about. And it's wonderful to see someone reversing the usual process and making a desert here into good land. Well, there's Dave Moore again with the walkie-talkie down at the house. And it's 6:05. We're right at the deadline. Everything else seems to be finished. So the big question now is, can they get the house finished in time? Dave, can you find out for us? Are they going to make it in time?
All right. Okay, Bob, just a minute now. I'm going to try to get through to Cliff here. Cliff, how does it look? Is this it?
That's it, Dave. The house is done. Come announce it on the sound truck.
There you have it, folks. The carpenters are finishing up the last row of shingles on the roof of this beautiful new home for the Hermans. Construction on this home was begun at 7 o'clock, and they're finishing off the top of the roof now. Just a few more finishing touches on this inside of this home, and the home will be ready for your inspection.
Well, the house is finished, and it's 6 p.m. now. Back here at the speaker's stand, the final ceremony is about to begin. The only job that hasn't been finished on schedule is the landscaping, and the crowd has rushed in and trampled the ground and so made that impossible. We're waiting now for John Herman. There he's coming now out of the house, and we are ready to begin.
Right now, it gives me great pleasure to introduce the beneficiaries, Mr. and Mrs. John Herman and daughter Janet.
On behalf of my daughter and wife, I'd like to thank all those responsible for this great project. I thank you.
That's the way they like their program, short and sweet. And now, I would like to introduce the regional director for the United States Soil Conservation Service, and it's a great pleasure to have him on hand, Mr. J.H. Crist.
This young couple who were here just ahead of me, Mr. and Mrs. John Herman and their daughter, are very fortunate people, of course. And you're probably saying, well, sure, you can go in here and with all this equipment and everything, you can put on a job like this in a day. Well, of course, this has just been telescoped down, but I want to point out that here in the Northside Soil Conservation District, there are about 350 farmers who also are making progress, just not as fast, of course, but just as securely as is being done on this Herman farm here. Getting together on occasions of this kind does something among people. But all these manner of things that enter into the picture of farming, of developing the best land use that can be developed under the circumstances at hand, of bringing acquaintance and understanding to the people of their communities as to what's going on, certainly that brings about a tie that I don't know can be brought about in any other way than by getting together, getting understanding, of being able to talk these things over, and of being able to work together to do it.
It's now 6:40 p.m. We've been up 14 hours, and in that time we've seen a farm made out of a desert, a house built, and a community working together to preserve its land. That's our report on the big day in Jerome County, Idaho. You have just heard The People Act, narrated by Robert Trout, a documentary series presented by the TV Radio Workshop established by the Ford Foundation and produced by the CBS Radio Network. These programs are under the sponsorship of the National Committee for The People Act. Here is the committee's director, Elmore McKee.
The citizens of Jerome County, Idaho have demonstrated what an aroused and active community can do when they put their mind to it. If you would like to see a similar result in your community, won't you write us at the People Act Center, State College, Pennsylvania? Dr. Milton S. Eisenhower and his associates there will try to put you in touch with someone in your vicinity qualified to consult with you. And if you wish a script or a record of today's program, please write us at the People Act Center, State College, Pennsylvania.
The People Act is produced and edited by Irving Gitlin, assisted by Fred Freed. Tape recordings for this program were made in Jerome County, Idaho, by field reporter Dave Moore. Original music by Norman Lockwood, conducted by Alfredo Antonini. Join us again next week when The People Act in Delaware, Ohio.